You're listening to Thrive with Karina Grueling, a personal health and life design podcast for the modern everyday woman. Tune in and get inspired on how to thrive in your body and life. This is your host, Karina Grueling.
Welcome back, everyone. And today I greet Angela on the show, who helps women on their menopausal journey. Welcome, Angela.
Oh, thank you.
So, Angela, tell us a little bit about you. Like, what are you doing? Why did you choose your career? And how did you start working and helping menopausal women?
That's such a great question. And as you know, for any woman who's lived more than four decades, it becomes a very winding road. And I think my career found me early on, probably when I was in my just starting into my 40s, I had some really severe symptoms. And our current medical system really couldn't help me. They said, oh, you have fibromyalgia. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what that is. So, you know, they put me on a lot of medications. None of them really helped. And I still continued to have these symptoms. The symptoms, I later learned, were perimenopause. So this journey found me in that way. So that made me want to explore integrative therapies like massage or reflexology, essential oils, supplements, different ways to change my lifestyle, my diet. And that's when I really found what I really wanted to help women with. I want to help walk them home on their journey of the wise woman and really reclaim their vibrancy in that last, well, it could be the last half of your life or a third of your life. And it should be a time of celebration, a time to really dive into self-care and really find out who you are.
That's so beautiful what you said, no? Because for some women, it's just, oh my God, now my menopausal year start. And it's more like, oh, such a discomfort, no? And all the challenges I have to deal with now. And what you just said, no, like you, like often at the time, no, you have already raised your children or your children are in an age where they are more independent. And then finally you have more time for yourself and you learn so much in your life and you gain so much wisdom. So it's a very precious time. And it's the same like when women are still menstruating, it shouldn't be something that is unpleasant, but it should be something, okay, it's a cycle of our women's life and it's a very precious one. And so really to harvest, no, all the, yeah, the, let's say the wisdom, no, we can gain in our different cycles that we go through as a woman. And when you said like your own health problems led you to like, they really helped you to discover this kind of work, no, working holistically, bringing different aspects into your life so that you knew, okay, so I have to change not just my diet, but also lifestyle habits. And so how long did it take you until you really felt, let's say, improvements? Yeah, so that you really saw, okay, there's really something changing.
I remember the exact moment, actually. And it was one of those aha moments. We had a farm at the time, and I spent a lot of time in the barn. And you know, I had been suffering from a lot of depression and mood swings and brain fog. And I think, you know, when you get to that space, you start questioning yourself. You're like, am I going crazy? Do I really feel this way? And so I started working with essential oils. And that was the only thing at that point that I was doing different. And I remember walking back up to the house from the barn. And as I got to the gate, this feeling just came over me that I'm not depressed. I'm not having mood swings right now. And the only thing I'm doing different is just smelling an essential oil. And I thought, if it's that simple, I'm never going to stop. So I just kept working with essential oils and playing and learning. And oh, thank goodness I had so many teachers along the way that just encouraged me and helped me. And it's really brought me to where I am today as an acuaromatherapist and helping women through the use of essential oils on acupuncture points to really hone in on being their very best.
I'm very excited to discover more about that a little bit later, because I've never heard about that. Like, I sometimes intuitively took some essential oils and applied it on some points, but it was more like for digestive, like as a digestive help. So let's tune into that later. I think our listeners can learn a lot about that. And it's also not something that we find a lot in Europe. And very important to know, Angela is based in the US. No, and in the US, they are always a little bit ahead of us. And yeah, so it's good to learn now something about, how is it called again? Acuaromatherapy.
Acu, yes.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So let's maybe talk a little bit about what changes does a woman experience during perimenopause and menopause? And what is important to mention here, like, is the perimenopause, for some of our listeners who are maybe still menstruating and they haven't got into that yet. It's really the time, the years before you enter menopause. And menopause, you enter it, we say, when you didn't have a bleeding for 12 months. So what changes does a woman go through?
The changes can be a wide range. For me, on my personal journey, it just started with more irritability, depression, more of a mentally emotional. And then I began to feel the physical, you know, those estrogen levels are sort of like, okay, I'm going to try again to have a period, and then it doesn't happen. And then it makes up for it the next month. So there's this really big swing in estrogen and progesterone, and also testosterone levels in a woman. And estrogen, you know, just helps with so many other bodily functions, digestion, joint health, all kinds of things. I developed, which ironically, is because I'm a reflexologist, I developed plantar fasciitis because my tendons and ligaments were not allowing, because of the lack of estrogen, to have that flexibility. Digestive issues can be a problem too, because estrogen plays a part in that as well. Poor quality of sleep, hot flashes. I suffered probably for 10 years with hot flashes and night sweats. So imagine trying to raise teenagers or get people to their soccer games, and, you know, kids to soccer, and, you know, just maintain a social life when all of those symptoms are going on. It's really challenging. And oftentimes, I will say that, you know, not everyone goes through this natural flow of perimenopause through menopause and postmenopause. Oftentimes, because of medical issues or even cancer, a woman can abruptly go through menopause. And so she's getting all of those symptoms all at once, plus having to go through chemo or radiation or something like that. So there can be medical menopause as well.
And so today I see many more women entering menopause when they are very young. What do you think about that?
Like, I think I have a lot of thoughts about that one.
Yeah, let's discuss it a little bit, because I'm observing it, no? And
I see it here in our culture. I think a lot of it has to do with environmental. We're exposed to so many more, like, plastics in the water. I know here on the Pacific coast, they did some tests, and every seafood that they tested that came out of the ocean here had micro particles of plastic in it now. And that was all the way from British Columbia to Mexico along the West Coast. So we are getting pollutants in our food that we aren't even aware of. Water supplies can be contaminated, and our air as well. So those are environmental factors. We are exposed to so much more stress in our lives. And our adrenals, a lot of women don't realize that our adrenals and our liver take over some of the production of our hormones when our ovaries give up. It's like a relay race. And the ovaries are passing the baton to the liver and the adrenals. And they're like, wait a minute, I'm still processing that glass of wine you had last night. And I'm still dealing with all the stress that you've got with your work and your social life and everything else. So how am I supposed to do this?
Yeah,
so there's this internal conflict going on with all of this changeover.
Yeah, that's really, now our liver today, I think, is one of the most charged organs, because of time pressure, because of too much alcohol and coffee consumption, but also late nights. This weekends, the liver very much when women go to bed constantly too late. And what you already said, the environmental toxins. I just published a podcast episode today about how you can daily detox your liver, because what you just said, the liver is of utmost importance when it comes to hormonal balance. Mm-hmm. And these environmental toxins, it's just like it's too much of so many things, that we women need to deal with today. And I also think what you already said, that stress plays a very important factor. Many women don't even notice how stressed they are. And when we talk about stress, it's not just how you structure your day. It's also the emotional stress, the mental stress. And it's just today also many women, they feel so pressured to getting it all done, the career, the kids, the family life, the husband, looking good, doing sports, like, wow, there's so much pressure. I always realize that when I look at my mother, it's another generation, much more chilled than ours or mine,
yes.
At least.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you, because like in Ayurveda and in Chinese medicine, we say that if we want to have easeful menopausal years, we need to prepare like around 10 years before for that. So if we have already a lot of issues in our menstrual cycle, it's not guaranteed, but the risk is high that we will also encounter menopausal problems. Because of course, what you just said with the progesterone and estrogen, they both regulate the menstrual cycle. So if you already have imbalances and testosterone as well, and then before we enter menopause, of course, we will have problems during menopausal years. So how can a woman optimally prepare herself for menopause?
I think there's a multifaceted approach. I think the most important thing to remember as you enter sort of this phase and as you're preparing for this phase is that we become less stress tolerant during our perimenopausal and postmenopausal years. So creating a lifestyle for yourself that allows you to have more ease and more flow, really getting nutritionally dense foods into you. The right amount of protein, fiber is so important for helping to detox that liver. You've got to have fiber to get things out. And really taking some time to dedicate every day to a self-care practice. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be like the super meditator. It could just be sitting with a single essential oil, opening that up, wafting it under your nose, and taking 3 minutes worth of nice deep breaths and just let everything clear out of your head. That's just as simple as it can be. Get your body back into that state of parasympathetic relaxation. Stimulate that vagus nerve by doing those deep breaths and stretching the diaphragm. That's one of the most important things that you can do to prepare yourself. And also remember, as a woman, you don't have to do everything and be everything for everyone. No is a complete sentence.
Yes, you are absolutely right. No, setting boundaries, setting our priorities, that's so important. And it's not something, that we learn now in our society as women. No, like usually we adapt, we make it happen. Yes, of course. No, we don't want to disappoint others. We don't want to feel the rejection. But setting boundaries, strong boundaries, healthy boundaries, and our priorities is very important. Now, and what you also said, that taking the time every single day to tune in. Now, what do we need? What do we feel?
The other thing that I think is really important, because as females in our culture, we are the tenders. We tend to things. We tend and befriend. And finding a group of like-minded women. Pre-pandemic, I started a full moon wise woman circle. And I just invited some of my close friends to come once a month on the full moon and just talk, like check in. How are you doing? How can we support each other? And I'm telling you, that group is gold to me. We have over 420 years of wisdom in that group. And they are my go-to people that I know that I can call if I need to talk or to just check in and say how I'm feeling that day. So find people, find your people, find your tribe.
Yeah, women really heal best in communities, now with other women. And this exchange with other women that go through the same phase of your life, this is something that can be very nourishing, very positive, very supporting for ourselves. Yes. So when, like, we both work now with women who go through menopause, what are the most seen discomforts that you deal with and that you help women with?
For me, it's gone beyond the physical symptoms. And I think we have to get over the cultural barrier that menopause is a diagnosis, like it's some kind of disease, because it's not. I mean, that would be like calling puberty for our children a disease. Yeah. It's not. This is sort of like reverse puberty, where we get to go back to not having any periods and having more fun in our lives, right? Being more carefree. But also, we have that vessel, that uterine space that now is no longer producing children, if you had children, but it's still a very creative space. And so helping women cross that threshold, walking them down that road to fulfillment. How do you want to feel fulfilled? What do you want your purpose to be during this time? Because many of them are leaving corporate jobs, or, their children are off to college and have their own lives now. And they're in between that phase of being mothers and then coming into maybe grandmotherhood. And so it's a new way of being, and it includes rest and the right type of exercise and regular self-care. So really honoring yourself, learning to honor yourself, is part of how I help those women. And I'm also helping myself along the way.
Yes, now with each woman that we help with, is like we learn something. I find always we healing in community with other women, and we learn so much from them. Because each woman is unique, very unique, has different challenges, to deal with, also different strengths. And when we all when we sit together and exchange, and this is very nourishing, very beautiful.
So, and when we do walk that path, when we are working the program, I call it, eating well, exercising properly, doing the self-care, finding some sort of purpose or meaning. I do a lot more artwork now than I used to, kind of coming back to that. What we're doing is we're mirroring that to our community. we as women are teaching other women just by them watching us. I have a friend who she's in her 60s now, and she still runs surf camps for young women. And she's out there in the surf every day surfing, you know. And so she's one of the wise women in our community. She is showing other women how to live vibrantly as they age.
Yeah, and this is now like our body is also built in a way that it gets more efficient when we get older, no? Because usually we gain more wisdom. So when we gain more wisdom, we know how to take care of ourselves better. And what you also mentioned, no, the lifestyle habits, the self-care habits, like we really need to take care of that as we age, because we, when we get older, no, we still want to feel vibrant, joyful, energetic, and it is possible, no? And yeah, that we also develop a different relationship, no, to menopause, no? So to define menopause in our own terms.
Yes. So yes, when we're younger, we might get more excited about having a new car or a better house or something. But as we age, we find more beauty in just the change of the seasons. I'm loving looking at my tulips blooming right now and my medicine garden coming to life. And so I think as we age and we can slow down and do some more reflective time, we come more in the rhythm of the seasons, which I think is, I mean, I see that as part of the five element Chinese medicine and also the Ayurvedic tradition, is that being really in, I mean, now is spring, it's the wood energy. We think about the liver and gallbladder and all that cleansing. And I love that aspect in reflecting on the menopause journey as well.
Mm. So when you started to work with essential oils, and today you help other women with essential oils, like, tell us a little bit about essential oils. How do they work? Like, what are essential oils and how do they work? What can, like, what happens in our body when I, for example, take an essential oil, I inhale it for 3 minutes? What's happening?
There are all kinds of things happening, and I'd love to talk about this. You know, aromatherapy, I believe, is as much of an art as it is a science. It's much like cooking. You know, you learn to cook by starting with your basics, and then you can make a beautiful brioche bread if you want. But scientifically, if you talk about essential oils, they are volatile chemical compounds. They interact initially with your limbic system, which is the oldest part of our brain, the olfactory bulb. And once we smell something, we inhale an essential oil within a nanosecond. It is creating a cascade of chemistry through your hypothalamus and going to olfactory receptors in every organ of your body. Now, that doesn't mean that your liver can smell, but it does have receptors in it that can take in that chemistry and change it into hormones or initiate hormone changes in the body. And to me, that is just the most fantastic, amazing thing as an aromatherapist.
So depending on which essential oil you use, you can also influence to which organ it travels and to which tissue. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
So let's take geranium rose.
I love it.
And I do too. I didn't like this oil before I entered perimenopause. And then as my body's chemistry changed, my body said, oh, you like this now because you need it.
Yeah, so it's very strong, no? But it's very like this. The smell is very strong, but I love it, and I use it for my facial routine every evening.
Oh, beautiful for skincare. If you smell this, what's happening is it's going again through that limbic system, through the olfactory mechanisms to the hypothalamus, and sending out chemical receptors that go to the pancreas, helping with to balance glucose, glucagon, insulin. And there's also some acuaroma points that you can use in coordination with that, so it can travel the meridians as well. So that's, you know, I love geranium rose for that, because for women perimenopausally, sugar can really get wonky when our our cortisol levels get raised and the adrenals are overtaxed, that also raises our blood sugar levels. So helping to kind of bring that down, bring that in balance. And from a fragrance energetic standpoint, we think of geranium rose as this balancing, harmonizing energy flow. So it likes to circulate, balance, and harmonize.
Wonderful. So let's take, for example, hot flashes. No, so like in Chinese medicine, we could, for example, take kidney seven, no, to relieve them. And then you would apply some essential oil on kidney seven that helps with hot flashes, correct?
That's yes. The method? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when we think about fragrance energetics, I could use kidney three too, but kidney seven is a really good one. I would use, let's say, a citrus, because citruses like to take energy and move it up and out. They clarify. So something mm-hmm. like Meichang, if you're familiar with Meichang, or even bergamot, you could use lemon as well and just place it on that point. We dilute it properly. So for a citrus, I would dilute it to a 25% dilution. So 25% oil, 75% jojoba oil or a carrier oil, mm-hmm. and place it on your finger and then place it on that point and just hold it lightly for 2 to 3 minutes. And what happens is the fragrance energetics, because essential oils have an energetic frequency, it picks up into that little vortex, the point, which is the vortex, and those energies of the oil travel that meridian.
Wow.
And that creates the change. It is the most rewarding work I have done with women going through menopause.
And the beautiful thing is that women also can do it on themselves. Know when they yes. go home, like you teach them how to do it, you decide what oil to take, which acupuncture points or acupressure points, but then they can do it themselves at home. So this is really beautiful. So yes. What other oil comes to your mind when you think of the endocrine system?
I want to have special mention for bergamot, and I have a special point I'd like to share with that too. So bergamot, of course, is this beautiful citrus. It is a very potent antidepressant, and that's the oil that I had been smelling when I had my epiphany about, hey, I'm not depressed anymore. It helps to lower irritability. It actually has the ability to help manage cholesterol levels. So cholesterol is a hormone, and that's important during perimenopause because that tends to creep up a little bit. It helps control appetite, and oftentimes we have weight gain in perimenopause. It can help regulate the metabolism. So we're talking about leptin and ghrelin. Leptin, our satiation hormone. So smelling this along with maybe some pink grapefruit before you eat will help you to get full quicker. So it eases PMS. It's good for relieving menstrual cramps, can help with leaky bladder, relieving fear and anxiety. But the secret weapon, I think, that bergamot helps with, it helps to reduce the corticosterone, which is the hormone with our adrenals, our responses to stress, and balances that HPA axis. So we have the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. So balancing the pineal and the pituitary glands for hormone regulation. So, it's going to help with those sleep cycles as well. So gosh, is that not like some of the best reasons to have bergamot?
I think I even have it in my cupboard. I will have a look later.
Good.
I will have a look later. Oh my God.
I like when I use it for acuaromatherapy, I use it at a 25% dilution because it can have some phototoxic effects. You can get one that is called FCF, which has the furano coumarin, which is the sun sensitivity component taken out of it. And if you put a little drop of diluted oil on your fingertip and put your fingertips together, if you go up in your the top of your ear and from the top of your ear roll down into that first deep valley, that's the Shen Men. It's the spirit gate.
That's an amazing point, you know, to lower stress, to sleep better, to relieve anxiety, panic attacks.
So bergamot on that point, they did some biofeedback to find out what is the energy of this oil really doing on this point. And what they found was that it was balancing the left and right hemispheres of the brain and actually bringing the body into a parasympathetic state of relaxation. Wow. I want you to try that. Karina, yes, you're going to love it.
I will do. I have so many essential oils at home. And I can tell you tonight when I come back home, I will try bergamot. I'm very curious about this one. And I'm very sensitive to these things. So I'm sure I will feel something.
And just if that became every woman's self-care practice per day, just for a week, and just track what is different now than if I didn't use the bergamot. And it's just, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Is there any other essential oil that you would like to mention?
Well, for the endocrine system, I love black spruce. When we talk in acuaromatherapy terms, we call black spruce the ancient one. I live here in a place where there are so many black spruce trees, and it's good for helping with mental fatigue and burnout. How many perimenopausal women, and we talked about the whole cultural aspect, are just burnt out, you know, low stamina, adrenals just have gone the gamut. They can't go any further. But what this does is it stimulates the thymus gland and regulates the pituitary gland. So it helps to regulate estrogen and progesterone and helps with, it's good for your skin, for your immune system, for menstrual disorders, for as a pain reliever. But what energetically, and this is why I chose one of the conifers, it helps to take your energy and bring it in, hold you up, and ground you. And so many times through this journey, we feel so strung out, and pieces and parts of us have gotten lost and displaced and forgotten. And this sort of helps bring us back home into our bodies, grounds us, and says, you can do this. I'm going to be here and help you.
Wonderful. That sounds really wonderful.
A place that I like to put this, it's a governing vessel 4. So if you hold your hands on your hips and you move your thumbs back to the middle of your back, that is governing vessel 4. And I love to call that our pilot light. It's right there in the area of the kidneys and the adrenals. And I love to put just a drop of diluted black spruce in my palms of my hand and rub them together, and then place one hand on my low back in that place and the other hand over my womb. And just imagine that black spruce is just holding me and giving me strength, helping me light that pilot light so that I can keep my life force energy going. And just honor myself for all of the years of the things that I've done and accomplished and been a woman and had my cycle every month and, you know, just being a woman today is so special, and to honor that.
Mm. Yeah, to celebrate that. No? We don't celebrate that enough. But I find there's like we can see huge changes. Like I find in all the big cities, like you find, like in the smaller ones, of course, as well. But we find more women's circles everywhere. Mm-hmm. No more tantra workshops, so that women really want to connect to their femininity differently and really to celebrate it and also to honor again, to gather with other women in a circle, now, which was something that we did in ancient times always, but then with modern life, now we forgot a little bit about that. But I find now is really a movement where we see women are getting back there, which is very important. Yes, so let's say a woman starts to use essential oils on certain points, and let's say she doesn't change her diet and lifestyle. Can she still have some positive changes? Or do you agree that if you want to have some profound, long-lasting changes, that you always, when you also do this kind of therapy, you need to look at your diet, you need to look at your lifestyle habits? What do you think about that?
I always say that essential oils are a gateway drug because once you use them, and let's say you're using geranium rose and you'd had, well, maybe you just have a lot of sugar cravings and you decide to use the geranium rose, and that starts to shift things a little bit. And then you're using the bergamot and your mood is starting to shift a little bit. And there's this magical thing that happens that maybe you were resistant before to having some diet and lifestyle changes, but because these essential oils are starting to work and change you in positive ways, you're more willing to go and try that detox that your good friend is going to offer. And you're more willing to go with your women's circle and do a hike on the weekend or something to get more active. So it's this magical thing that happens when you start using essential oils that shifts your mindset a little bit to take you to the next level, to be able to completely have this abundant, vibrant life.
And often women, when they tap into that experience of taking care of themselves, and they just think, okay, I just do this little habit and I already can feel a huge difference. What would happen if I do more? No, so it's really motivating for them to go on this journey and to experiment with other things, no? So yeah. What would you say? I mean, you already mentioned that, no? That a woman can just start taking one essential oil, just inhaling it for 3 minutes a day, no? Start that she can start with that and then see what else, no? Will happen after that. So you even wrote a book. So tell us a little bit about your book.
It's called Aromatherapy for Menopause Success. And there are 100 essential oil recipes in the book. And they go the whole gamut. It's not just about the menopausal symptoms, but it's about immune health. It's about gut health. It's about, you know, sleep and all the aspects of having a full and vibrant life. I don't have any acupoints in the book, but I did create a complete card deck that has the oils and the points in it. And there will be a forthcoming Menopause Success workbook that includes those. But the book is really in real layman's terms, and it shows women what happens to their bodies as they go through this process. It also, with lots of really great graphics and diagrams, and there is a hormone symptom mapper, so they can kind of say, okay, I've been feeling kind of wonky. You know, what hormone could that be? And then there's a symptom remedy mapper that has, okay, if your cortisol is high or you think your cortisol is high, these are the oils that can help balance that. So it's really helpful on that level to sort of help a woman start sorting out what is happening to my body. And it's in by no means a substitute for good testing, hormonal testing, but to be used in coordination integratively with good healthcare.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I will for sure get that because I have here and there menopausal women, and I find it so, like when I just listen to you, no? Then I think, oh my God, I have to train with her and to learn more about that. Yeah, because it's often not the very simple things in life that can change so much. No, it's always found in simplicity. And it's so beautiful that you offer women this method that is very accessible and easy to do in order to have improvements. This is
We don't need anything else to complicate our day or our schedule. But if you can wake up in the morning, sit at the edge of your bed and smell an oil or place it on a point and hold it and just deep breathe and honor yourself, that is just such a more balanced way to go out into the world.
Mm. Absolutely. No. And to have completely different experiences, no, throughout the day, when we feel connected with ourselves, no, when we feel grounded, this can make such a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So you wrote these books. I will put them in the show notes. Yeah, the card deck and also the book that is already published. Mm-hmm. And if you wish to work together with Angela, I'm sure you are also giving online sessions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I put the website of Angela in the show notes so you can get in touch with her. You can inquire about her services. And of course, if you now got very curious about it, you can also order her book on Amazon and her card deck as well. And as soon as the new book is released, I will add it to the show notes.
Beautiful.
Mm, thank you so much, Angela. Is there anything, any last thing that you would like maybe to add or to say to our listeners?
I just want women to know how incredibly amazing they are. Their bodies are just designed to create and to care. And we deserve to give that back to ourselves.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's a wonderful journey. And we can just encourage our listeners to go on the journey. Sometimes at the beginning, there's a lot of resistance. No, because like when we go on a journey, we don't know what happens. We don't know what will change. And of course, there's a lot of uncertainty. But that's life, no? Life is an adventure. And if you want to feel vibrant and joyful and completely alive, then you need to go on a journey, no?
Well, the essential oils are your passport. So grab those first and you can cross any border.
Oh, thank you so much, Angela.
Thanks for joining in today. To learn more about the Thrive Podcast or to get involved in Karina's growing community and online courses, visit karinagrueling.com. Remain committed to intentional choices that help you grow and thrive in your body and life, because you're worth it.